splendid. You are really looking splendid. Honorable Raida and Honorable Jobo.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm good,
sir. Very well, very well. And then Sue, Mr. Sue Ganesan, Madam Nola Bondwana Martinez, and Madam Stephanie, Stephanie. Welcome everyone to our portfolio committee meeting. Members, today's meeting is set out for us to look at the draft report which the Secretariat and the Content Advisor, Research and Secretary were busy with in terms of our budget review and recommendations. And if there's any recommendations that you want to put or add onto that, please feel free to do that. We'll ask you to take us through the report and so that we can pass this report possibly by tomorrow, if it's possible, so that we can still be into the time of the 13th. Our work is done then before the 13th, because the snag is that the minister is doing the medium-term budget framework the end of the month, and all these recommendations and stuff goes into that medium-term budget framework, which then the Parliamentary Budget Office, the PBO, will then work through what we do in our reports, all portfolio committees. These reports then goes to the Parliamentary Budget Office, and they will then work into these reports, find out what our recommendations is or will be. Is it viable? Do we then recommend more money for the department, or do we recommend that the department is stable as is, or in terms of funding, because they don't utilize or spend most of the money and all that, or they don't spend it where it's supposed to be spent? How do we do this then? So that is type in terms of our budget review and the recommendations report. Now, I don't know who else has received this electronically. I've received it yesterday electronically, and electronically, this report, by email. That's why it's good to invest in electronic gadgets. You need them to be, because one of these days, the scientists and the clever people, like Honorable Ryder, will make away with paper. It says people must just invest in electronic things. Harmful to the trees and harmful to the environment. So we must get ourselves equipped electronically as such. But members, if needs be, Shoaib can take us through step by step so that we also get acquainted. And if needs be, we come back tomorrow. If we don't finish off today, we come back tomorrow, because we've got a quorum. If you are happy, if we need to pass this report today. If not, we'll come back tomorrow and then further interrogate and pass it with the resolution. Honorable Masela.
Honorable Chair, thank you. I want to suggest that in future, as we send this information to the panel, we also have the copies in the
system.
That they were not there. I came early today. We know that I find the one in the system. It wasn't there. So please, in future, let that go. You cannot just use only the
system.
And try to print it if you want it.
Okay. All right. Now, look, I know that you didn't just come early for the report. You are always early. That is one thing I must say to you. You wake up the park, you and Dr. Madlopa, 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up people. So you are always early. But also, members, you must please find out from your secretaries why they are not printing all these reports and stuff. But I don't want to make an apology for the staff, but the reality is that we are, because of the short time frame that we had with this report, we only got for the 3rd or the 13th. Normally we do get a longer time frame previous years to do this type of reports, so we take a longer period with the reports. Are you okay, ma?
No.
Oh, I really thought we were going to have an Eastern Cape conference thing here, or a chest going around or something. Let me not use what Honorable Fultani is saying. That is unparliamentary. Nola is blushing on this side. But normally we have a longer time frame, Honorable Ryder, to do this report. But because of the shortened time frame that we've got, and I think the Secretariat and the Content Advisor, the Researcher and the Secretary have done everything possible that they can to have us report with us within 4 days or 3 days. Thursday was the last engagement, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in actual fact, we've not even had a weekend. And we must appreciate the fact that they've really gone out of their way to do this type of thing, because I know there's some committees, when I spoke to some chairpersons, they were frustrated, really, because people have said to them, weekend is our weekend, it's my family time. So I'm only starting with the report on Monday. And we can really thank our competent and able staff here, Shuaib, Nola, and Ines. Really big thank you to you guys for, although Nola was posing with Honorable Fultani at the rugby, so I don't know if she took the laptop with at Newton Newlands to do the report or something, but thank you very much. So you didn't go to church? Okay, that's bad. That's very bad. But I thought Honorable Fultani has preached to you a lot during the last weekend on Saturday. But really thank you, colleagues, for doing this thing under the tremendous pressure. Remember that we had to do the department last, which is normally not the convention. The department is always first, but because of a lot of things that happened and a lot of things that they, we had to do the department last as such on Thursday. Thank you very much, but also let me thank the members for their contributions. And members, Honorable Wright is very new, but he's got experience in local government. Honorable Masiela, also a first term in Parliament, but experience in local government. Honorable Njobo, Honorable Fultani, Honorable Mateve, in your absence, but in spirit you were there, and you were well represented in terms of the rural areas as such. I must say, members, thank you very much for not posing sweetheart questions to the departments, the entities, and the ministers. There was really hard questions. But it was also that the department could see that we do take our work seriously. The department could see that whatever they bring us in those glossy magazines of theirs and all that, it is not just for show. That we keep these books for show, but we keep a proper oversight over them. And that was something that we can, this committee can really compliment itself on. Even the minister said to me that he's very grateful that the committee is so observant, and the committee is so vigilant, and the committee is not afraid to call a spade, and not a garden implementing tool. But a spade is a spade as such. So thank you very much, members, for that. And we hope that going forward that we will continue of keeping our departments and our entities and our executive to account so that they can see that we mean business in that regard. Members, any questions from your side? Anything you want to add before I hand over to Shoaib? You must better get the mic close to you, Shoaib. Okay, Mr. Dhanesan, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. What I will do is, as I read through, I may skip certain portions because there are parts of the report that's completed, other parts are incomplete. I will refer to those. These incomplete spaces, by the way, honourable members, even though it's incomplete, it doesn't mean that we don't have the information. We actually do have it, it must just be inserted. And we just didn't have enough time to put all of them in. So, the introduction, Chair, what I've done with the introduction was to make certain that we state clearly what it is we do in the BRRR. And so, we state that it's a key part of the oversight responsibility of the committee. We, at the bottom, place footnote saying, referring to the legislation that says this report must be done, and what must be done in the report. And then we continue and say that the committee focuses on the imperatives, the policy imperatives that the National Executive Authority, which is the minister, put in place to guide government leadership over the built environment, that should be a key, and construction sector. The National Department, the PMTE, and the entities that report to the minister must translate these built environment and construction policies into funded programs and ensure its implementation. While the minister can be referred to as the policy arm, the department and entities can be viewed as the implementing arms of the public works sector. I want to pause here, Chair, and just say that everything that we said there about the minister and the department can be contested, but it can also be defended. And it can be contested by people who will say, by the department, for instance, Chair, who will say that, no, the department has split itself into an implementing and a policy regulation. In other words, the department, DPW, old DPW, is doing policy, and PMTE does the implementation. I want to say, Chair, that is, while it seems true because of the turnaround strategy, it would be a false statement because it's an incomplete statement. The truth is, Public Finance Management Act and the Constitution establishes an executive authority who is the policy leader. It's a human being, very often a political person, who states policy. The department must take the money that's allocated in the budget, turn it, first of all, the department must translate the policy into programs, implementable programs, and allocate money and implement it. Now, the next paragraph is important, Chair, because it says that what we said above means that the implementing arm must submit annual performance plans in which they state properly defined targets and time frames along which these targets, I will change that to make it a more easy sentence later, again, along which these targets would be reached. The policy leader and his office, in other words, the minister's office, must in turn monitor and track to ensure that implementation, I delete would indeed, and say that implementation take place with the allocated funds. This tracking takes place through regular meetings with the top management to ensure that quarterly performance reports show progress towards stated targets. The minister further holds regular meetings with members of the executive, take the SOA, councils, MECs, that function as provincial public works policy leaders. Now, I stop there because one could carry on and talk about the provincial and a whole lot of other things, but I want to keep it as brief as possible. The important thing there is just to make it clear that there's a difference between the policy leader and the department. The next sentence two sentences are quite important as well. Through these structures, the topmen, the minister and the top management, and the MSCs, which is very often referred to as the MINMEC. Through these structures, it is clear that the first level of oversight over the implementing arm is the minister as policy leader. I'm taking that comma away, after arm. The second level is the oversight that this committee exercises over the minister as policy leader that guides the work of the implementing arm. In the annual reports, the minister and the department report to this committee on, respectively, the public works policy and financial performance to reach, take the away, targets within the time frames as stated in the annual performance plan. This report is therefore focused on the performance, etc. Chair, the argument we must push as this committee unashamedly is that we are not doing oversight of the DG and the DDGs. It's not our job. In our interaction with them, it may sound like that, but our job is to check how they implement the minister's policies. So we do oversight over the minister. And we must just constantly check, otherwise we are actually illegal in our activities as oversight mechanism. I want to just clear something up, Chair, also that may come up around the two levels that I refer to here as oversight. The minister must check on implementing arm. We check on the minister. There is another one or two oversight mechanisms. People can speak, for instance, of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. People can refer to SCOPA. People can refer to the Appropriations Committee. But we can also refer to the Auditor General. The report is not about that. The report is about our work over them, and therefore I'm leaving all of those out here. I'm going to page 2. We state the mandate of the department, referring first of all to Schedule 4, Part A of the Constitution that describes the functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence. That's the first legal mandate of the national department. Further detail of that mandate refers to this department as custodian of government's immovable properties in the Government Immovable Asset Management Act 2007. Now, when we later on look at the PMTE and the problems with the PMTE, I will refer to Guyama. It's on page 2. I will refer to Guyama and the importance of knowing precisely what you have as properties, but also the value of those properties. The department is responsible for the official accommodation of all national departments. It is mandated to provide construction, maintenance, and property management services to all client departments at national level. This includes the rendering of expert built environment services that are related to the planning, acquisition, management, and disposal of immovable assets. The department is also mandated to provide strategic leadership of employment creation through the implementation of Phase 3 of the Expanded Public Works Program. The department plays a coordinating. I noticed that the department there is a small letter. We have to decide whether we do small or big letters for the department. I just stick to it. I'm just referring to it. Plays a coordinating and capacity enhancement role with provincial and local government departments, my apologies, counterparts, to ensure the implementation of the third phase of EPWC. The department is then further responsible for the following built environment team, built with a T, and construction entities. The first one is Agrimo SA, Construction Industry Development Board, Council for the Built Environment, and the Independent Development Trust. The role of this committee, Parliament through its committees does oversight over the national executive. Now this is a repetition, and if members want to and instruct me to, then we can delete this. But I will read through it so that members can see. We do oversight over the National Executive Authority and how it uses the budgetary allocation to its department to fulfill its mandate. Committees of the National Assembly submit annual budgetary review and recommendation reports. Actually, the word should be budget review and recommendation reports after the adoption of the appropriation bill and prior to the adoption of the reports on the medium-term budget policy statement. I hasten to say we should actually just leave it there because it actually refers to what you mentioned earlier, Chair, the processing of it. Now, the next one was, it looks grayer than the others, the next sentence, because it was in orange. And it's highlighted because, again, the committee needs to say whether we should leave it like this or not. We say, due to the late submission of the annual reports of the department and the property management trading entity, this committee could unfortunately not adhere to the requirements to adopt its BRRR for the 2016-17 financial year prior to the adoption of the MTBPS. Chair, it is put in there in case we are sent back to rewrite this report and we will not be able to do it and you will not be able to adopt it in this week and we therefore miss the MTBPS date. We just put it in there for that sake. So if committee wants to, later on we can decide whether we take it out or not. In doing oversight of the department and how the National Executive gave effect to its mandate, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works does oversight, etc. And I think that can come out because it's a repetition. We're saying that almost three or four times. So what I'm saying is, the last sentence that I just read, we can just draw a line through that. Here we list the evidence that the committee used. And I will just run through the evidence. The Money Bills Amendment and Related Matters Act sets out a procedure through which we must do a checking on the performance of the department, and we use this evidence. The department's strategic plan, the 5-year strategic plan, 2014 to 2019, and the policy statement in their entirety. The annual performance plan and the annual report. The strategic plans and annual reports of the entities. Quarterly expenditure reports as per section 32 of the PFMA. Financial performance statements in the 2016 and 17 annual report.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
If you want to make suggestions, do we wait until the end or do we take it chapter by chapter, so to speak?
I think the best is so everybody will be comfortable with chapter by chapter because
Chair, we could, but then the members must just stop me and say, can we now take questions? Then we can do it. Because I'm saying that because there isn't really a proper chapter by chapter because that's part of the problem with the report, actually. But Chair, it would be fine.
You want to do it page by page?
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. You know, that sentence, second one from the top on page 3, due oversight. The Committee on Public Works does oversight on whether and to what extent the department used the allocated funds to perform its mandated functions. Now, you would probably recall that I'm the one who always persists on asking for evidence of a socio-economic impact. Now, I would like to know if we exclude that, because I don't want to appear to be the one who is like a child who is clamoring for attention. You know, is it institutional to ask for that or is it not? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, just on page 2, sorry to take you back there. The yellow, what you said, the last paragraph. I'm not sure whether the department was late because they had until the close of day on Friday. That Friday. It was given to them by the speaker. Correct that we say due to the late submission. Well, they got the authority of the speaker to submit it until that Friday. That's so funny. When was that?
Yeah,
transcript that they submitted. Yeah, 29. The Adam Pope 29. I think the minister made a request, and it's the request was then given to him to submit it to 29. But not just the department alone, but I think there was about 14 or 15 others. Honorable Ida.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, perhaps my inexperience can be used to excuse this question, but who sets the deadlines for submission, and is it the Speaker's prerogative to extend that deadline? I think is a question that I'd like to know, because obviously you yourself mentioned in your opening remarks, you know, that you've had a very short time to go through this process, and that submission has obviously exacerbated that situation. So perhaps you'd like to get an answer on that. Thank you.
Well, yeah, the deadline is set by the Speaker, because all the reports must go to the Speaker first. The Speaker tables it and then sends it to the various committees. So the Office of the Speaker sets the deadline, by what time the departments must hand in their things. But I think because of a lot of things happening prior in September, because normally these reports comes in by the middle of September, and then committees then deals with the BRRR process from the middle of September up until the middle of October. So that the MTPBF process or policy statement can be read also that middle of October. But I think due to some other dynamics that happened in Parliament or something to that effect, or I'm not sure whether it was with the cabinet reshuffle or things like that, that possibly there something went wrong and the time frames were then shifted by the executive of Parliament, which is the Speaker and Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, that executive authority of Parliament. They then shift, that's why they've given us the short time frame, and they've given the whole 2 weeks for this process to be done. Normally we will have a week for the process to be done, and then we'll meet, and then plenary will sit in the afternoon while we do our reports as such. But it's given a whole 2 weeks for this process to be done in that regard. That's why I am just of the view, is it correct for us to say due to the late submission? And Sir Ape was also saying, please put it in yellow or orange, a committee must decide whether it should stay here or should be taken out. Honorable Marcel.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to say, do we really see ourselves missing the deadline of submitting before the term budget policy statement has been tabled? Do we see ourselves being late submitting it? If we don't, why don't we keep the statement? We can just delete it and make sure that we submit on time ourselves, because I'm not sure.
No, thank you, Honorable Masera. Due to the effectiveness and the speediness of our administrative staff, we won't be late. In actual fact, we are then ahead of time. Because as I've said, other committees, the content advisor, the secretary, the researchers only started yesterday with their things. But due to the commitment of our content advisor, researcher, and I know he was not well as well, our researcher and our secretary that had to go and support the COP, that's why we nearly won. We lost by one point.
she was not there, we would have got a nose grabbing. But we are in actual fact ahead of time. It now depends on us as the committee, whether we empower them to say, okay, as we go page by page, let's do the changes, and if needs be, adopt today. Then we are way ahead of time. Right.
Chair, let's put in a different color simply because we will obviously make a chair, but I think we must just look at budgeting and annual reporting, quarterly performance reporting as planning of government, which is that of the budgeting process, which is not a once off. That's got work that does, National Treasury does work constantly on allocations, on environments, etc. The reporting of it is therefore part of it. It's not set in stone, but it's actually legislated that reports must be done by September. And the POs of Parliament and the Leader of Government Business, however, I must say, Chair, this is my view, we are running into problems with it. Simply because we have a draft in front of us, that does not mean that we did the right thing. I know of committees who went so far as to take draft annual reports that were not submitted to Parliament, and they actually drafted their annual reports. Now, if we start squeezing ourselves into a corner, then we are going to start making mistakes. And I think I'm just referring to not this committee, not other committees, but government as a whole is starting to tinker with its legislation and bending things that should not be bent. That's all I want to say. I don't want to express myself in any other way than to stick to bureaucratic prescripts, Chair. Just about the evidence of socio-economic impact that the Honourable Sultani raised. I hear him ask this a lot, and I hear him not being answered. And that the whole committee must actually start supporting. And I know he's from, you know, the committee consists of a multi-party, multi-political party membership, but socio-economic impact is not political, but it can be used as a political tool. But to ask for the evidence of socio-economic impact of a program is correct because of the money that gets taken from every person's salary and purchases, which is VAT, which is tax, that is then used for these programs. It's correct, Chair. But when an honorable member asks the question and there is no attempt to answer it, then it becomes worrying for someone like myself sitting here that must give advice to the committee. Because I know that there's some parts of the evidence, and I know what the evidence should look like. So I would like to tell the Honourable Sultani and other members that when you ask for evidence, be more specific and say, I want the numbers of women who are not getting food in Grafene from this government, and I want the reasons why, and the names of the service provider, so that if that's evidence. But if you just say evidence, they will continuously just not answer you and flatter them. Some of the evidence is in here, but it shouldn't actually be in this report. It should be in our quarterly performance reports and our other meetings.
Thanks for the opportunity once more, Chair. Specifically, my question was more directed at saying, do we want to institutionalize? Institutionalize means that as a committee, do we accept it that is one of the elements that we should be looking for when we expect reports from the department? That's the thrust of my question. It's not so much the evidence as it were. You know, I know that when I came in 2014, I was almost like a lone voice, almost feeling like a nuisance in all the portfolio committees in which I served too, of course, I'm an alternate. But I used to, you know, I never had any other MP insisting on this.
And that's why I'm saying humbly today that I don't want to look like someone who is an attention seeker, you know, where I would rather we agree if, as this committee, as this institution, we believe that the department should really be, even if it's not there here now, but for the future, because once this report is adopted with that sentence, you know, then we will have authority now going forward to say, we said the parliament agreed that this should form part of the report, so that as from next year, we can say you did not refute this. The executive had access to the report. Nobody came back to us to say, you're asking for something that we are not supposed to deliver on. And so from this current financial year, then they would be obligated to do so. I understand that it's a new way of reporting, which has not been, which Parliament has not been insisting on. But I read something in the media too, and perhaps our researcher can check into this, that Treasury regulations have since been amended to insist on this as well. But since I only saw this in the media, I can't take it as authority for, you know, as a guide for us. But that's why I'm humbly, you know, appealing to our research to check if indeed Treasury regulations, you know, have been amended to include that. Then I will feel all the more empowered. But I just wanted to know if we accept that as a committee, you know, that we should expect this going forward, not necessarily in this particular report. Thank you, sir.
I think as Public Works Committee, you know, certain committees, honorable members, are not so much the policies or what are not so much driven on evidence based. Certain committees, a Public Works Committee, is one of those committees that is driven on evidence based, outcome based. Now, the outcome base of Public Works has also got a social impact. The EPWP, for instance, it's got a social impact. So we need evidence, an actual fact. So you're not wrong in requesting that. And as a committee, we will be failing in our task if we don't see the evidence. Because of not seeing the evidence, people have lost their lives. People have lost their lives. You see what happened in the Eastern Cape. People were shot and killed. Coal workers, as the department has already come in to report to us a year or two ago, that coal workers were on the payroll. And there's, so the money goes into someone else's pocket. There's no evidence for it. The IDP, it's an evidence-based instrument of this department, but it's also got a social impact as well, because it provides jobs, it elevates hunger, it creates or it provides that the joblessness figure have been coming down and all that, so it creates in terms of where people can be sustained through the government program. So I think if we look at the CBE, for argument's sake, the Council for Build Professionals Environment, we look at the CIDB, if they downgrade companies or they don't grade them, it's got a social impact. And the evidence is quite clear that poverty will then prevail or poverty will start creeping in. So I don't think you are wrong in that question. And as a committee, if needs be, whether we put it in this report or whether we then said, because I would have said that as a committee, you know what, part of the thing that we want to do is that we go away for a strategic session as a committee and we develop and draw up our own strategic tool where we measure the department in terms of strategy, in terms of the implementation, planning, as such, so that it's part of our core business then as a committee to say, don't come with us with facts, with figures. Come with us with evidence-based facts. That is what we want. I hope that... Okay. Honorable for time.
Thanks, Chair. Zooming in now, I'm happy that you have mentioned for the second time the need for us to have that strategic, you know, workshop.
I would then, but I don't want to appear to put in pressure here, I would then say, we either then, not amend, but augment that sentence, you know, where does oversight over that by including, you know, a statement that says that to also well ascertain whether there is any socio-economic impact. Alternatively, if we don't do that, then we know that we put a resolution that we must have a workshop so that we can repackage our oversight, you know, you know, approach. One of the two.
I think I will go with the latter one, with the last one,
so that
we can then, as a committee, all get together to say this is what our committee wants, and this is what.
Thanks a lot, Chair. That's an institutionalization I was looking for.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. If I can just go to the bottom.
Sorry. Is that page 2?
Yeah, I want to deal with page 2 and the top of 3, Chair. We'll remove the sentence that's a different color, and we will state, change the sentence at the top of 3 to read as follows. In other words, it's no longer deleted. In doing oversight over the department and how the National Executive gave effect to its mandate, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works does oversight over whether and to what extent the DPW used the allocated funds to perform its mandated functions to ensure the necessary socio-economic impact.
Okay.
I'm happy with that. Thank you very much.
Members, are you happy on the board item?
Yes, Chair, happy. Just the next item, if I may, under the evidence that the committee used.
Yes.
I think quite important to include on that list would be the presentations that we had last week and the interactions with the department and their various arms. They may be inferred in some of the information above, but I think specifically to state, because a lot of the things that were said at those presentations become quite important when analysing the state of the department.
Chair, I will insert I will insert something to the effect next to 5 where it says the oversight events of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works in the period under review, and then I will say including the interactions on presentations on the annual reports and audit report of the annual auditor general. Chair, I'll then move to 3 because the evidence 1 to 7 is quite evident, which deals with the committee's oversight over the alignment of legal mandate, etc. This is actually just an alignment between the strategic plan, annual performance plan, medium-term expenditure framework, and the annual report that was submitted to us and presented to us. And what we basically do is to say that if we compare them, that there's evidence that a reasonable effort to align the legal mandate, the policy, and planned initiatives to give effect to them, that alignment we can see is there. And we're never going to say we're fine with it. We'll have to say a reasonable effort, because there has been weaknesses. I list, Chair, under strategic policy priorities in the performance agreement of the Minister of Public Works in the current medium-term expenditure period or framework, which is 2014 to 2019. We say that what was presented to us by the Minister on the 3rd of October falls within those points A, B, and C. I flag that what I noticed was that the minister did an interpretation of the NDP and included a few aspects of the NDP that is already part of the 2014 to 19 strategic plan. Then I go to 5, Chair, which is the DPW and PMT annual performance plan.
Sorry, Anything on page four, members? On a little time?
Yes. It's just a question, and I'll plead with members, particularly members of the ANC, to accept my question as being very, very objective rather than subjective. The minister's statement started off by referring to the policy of the ANC. Now, how correct is that as different from referring to just the NDP and all the other instruments that influence the policy? I'm asking this literally so that I'm properly informed. In this, when it comes to Parliament, is he supposed to be saying this comes from the policy that has been developed and agreed to by the current majority party? As I say, there is no spite here, absolutely. It's, I just want to be informed, literally.
I think that Mama Sarah, sorry.
Honorable Chair, to me, I don't know. I didn't see any problem in that. Because it's not just the majority party, but it's the ruling party. So I don't see anything wrong. But indeed, we'll use the policies of that particular ruling party at that particular time. Thank you.
I think that, Honorable Futhani, that it normally goes with the ruling party of the day and their policy. That's why they have their policy conference and all that. When the NDP, the National Development Plan, was created, it was also then put down as an ANC policy. And I think most of the stuff that is based on what the minister has said and all that, and the department, and also part of our oversight, is then based on the NDP, on the National Development Plan. The policies of the ruling party, as such, is also based on the National Development Plan. And that's why I think in the democracy that we are, that we are in, with this multi-party functions that happens. That's why the reports or anything that goes out from Parliament is part of committee reports. So it allows the space also for smaller parties and all that to also give their input into these type of things, even the opposition. Give the input into this thing. So yes, although it is the ruling party's policies that prevail, but also there is the check and balances that per the constitution is in there for effective democracy and effective parliament oversight mechanism of parliament as well, effective in those type of things. That's
thank you, Chair. We noted under DPW and the annual performance plan of the PMTE, we say that...
Sorry, Chair, sorry.
Honourable Ryder.
Just to get back, I beg your pardon. I note that in the presentation, the Minister also specifically referenced outcomes 12 and 6, which are not listed here. Not sure if they excluded with purpose, because they might be an overlap, but should we not mention them as well?
Sorry. You said there's an overlap? 12 and 6.
Chair, it's quite difficult to say in a second bite. I mean, this is the paper that we generated last week. I think that I have full respect for what the Secretariat has done in putting this thing together. But Yeah, I just think we need to make sure that we cover all the bases.
That's fine, Chair. That's why what I did, Chair, was to actually refer to the fact that what we're doing here is looking at the strategic priorities as stated in the 2014 to 2019 strategic plan, the link with the annual performance plan, and then the annual report. What the minister has done, that's why I said what the minister has done, was to actually do an interpretation of the 14 to 19, and what we listed was what was in the strat plan. What we can do is to insert the 12 and 6, because the overlap is there. It would be captured as is, but it's fine. If honourable members instruct, then we'll put 12 and 6 in as well.
Honourable members, Honourable Masera.
Yes, I think it's okay that we include the 6 and 12, so that we don't.
It would actually strengthen what we say later on, Chair, because those two actually refer to the importance of capacity in order to implement policy imperatives, and the department failed in that. So it will be strengthening our point later on. So from the previous financial year, 15-16, the annual performance plan included and referred to, and the annual report of that year as well, referred to as the separation of the functions of the PMTE from that of the department, so that the regulatory and policy, quality norms and standard setting and monitoring functions remain with the department, in other words, closer to what we refer to as the policy arm, the minister's function, while the service delivery functions fall under the PMTE. The separation of function is an outcome of the turnaround strategy that is unfolding over the medium-term expenditure framework period, that is 2014 to 2019. The TAS moved the DW into a phase of stabilization and resulted in the repositioning of the organization to better discharge its responsibilities. This turnaround strategy was necessary to address the historically poor performance and the lack of adequate management and financial controls that the Department of Public Works had suffered from. In 2015, the department came with a revised strategic plan. That's what we refer to now. In its 2015 to 2020 revised strategic plan, the minister reported that the TAS has delivered results and that it was in a phase where it was ensuring effective, and we quote, effective implementation through a focused plan with measurable deliverables against budgets and timeframes. The turnaround strategy importantly includes the realignment of the department to secure a better focus on its mandate as custodian and portfolio manager of government's immovable assets. I just think that government should just be a small letter, not cap. Since the operationalization of the PMTE in the 2015-16 financial year, the department would be focused on improved oversight over policy formulation, coordination, regulation, and oversight related to the provision of accommodation and expert built environment services to client departments. For this reason, the committee noted a substantial decrease in the financial and staff allocations of the programs falling under the DPW, with a concomitant increase in that of the PMTE. Now, Chair, what I just read, that section, comes from a annual report of last year. We noted this in our annual report last year. And I did this purposely, Chair, and I'm saying to the committee that we moved last year's one in here, to say that what we've noticed in this year, and what Honourable Ryder was referring to in the presentation and our deliberations there, it was very clear that there's a regression. There's a regression, in other words, back to what was before the turnaround strategy. It's slow, it's small, it's not totally there, but some of the entities and the department and the PMT is there. I'm just alerting members to the fact, to the importance of certain sections. I just also want to say, Chair, that that last sentence, or the last two paragraphs, the turnaround strategy, the stabilization, went ahead No, along with it was some dishevelment, some chaos, some quiet chaos within the department and the PMTE. And nobody says so, but it becomes evident when we look at the figures. I want to read the last sentence again. It says, the committee noted a substantial decrease in financial allocation and staff allocations of programs falling under the DPW, and a concomitant increase to that of the PMTE. Now, it must never be thought of, this would be false, that the staff of the DPW just went to the PMTE. We are given that impression, but that's not true. Some of the staff function both there and on the other side, and that's why I'm glad Honorable Ryder referred to 12 and 6 of the NDP that must be included, because that's the issue of capacity.
And efficiency.
And efficiency. It's not being achieved. So all of what I just said, we will see that it comes out later on in the report. Overall expenditure, section 4, at the bottom of 5, page 5. We provide a brief summary of the expenditure of the DPW for the current financial year. And we say that the department received 6.5 billion to accomplish policy priorities established by the minister. The department reported on 32 targets. 19 were achieved, 13 were not achieved. And then we provide a table with the expenditures for both financial years, 15-16 and 16-17. And then we refer to the difference between what was allocated and what was spent. Now, the department says that it had a rate of expenditure of 98.3%, which means that 109 million of the 6.5 billion that was allocated was not used. And we then, in page 6 and 7, list the programs and the amounts per program that were not, where the money was not spent. Just to say, Chair, when we work in billions and trillions, as Treasury does and as our DGs and our ministers do, when we then talk about 100 million, then it seems like it's change. However, as a committee, we must never fall into that trap, which is why I'm so happy to hear socio-economic transformation and socio-economic effects of budget allocations and expenditure is at the 4-year. Because 109 million, if we look carefully at what it was not spent on, then a lot of it was not spent on staffing, compensation for staff. And it can be explained away, but it's still so, that because that wasn't done, certain things fell through the cracks. So, program one, underspending of 66 million, compensation of employees 13 million, as positions remained vacant during the financial year and was not filled. And what follows after not filled is a reason why not, as the review of the organizational structure remained incomplete. The committee needs to say whether they are pleased with that or not. Goods and services of 45 million due to lower municipal services costs due to the implementation of energy and water efficiency program as directed by Treasury. In line with the approved audit outcomes in the previous financial years, departmental spending on audit fees decreased significantly, so it's water, that energy and water saving efficiency, and audit fees that decreased due to associated lower risk. We must note that this is described here as an actual saving, yet it is reported as an underspending. And we must think of why it's reported as underspending, it's explained as a saving, and yet it is in reality an underspending. Underspending means bad planning. Machinery and equipment of 6.8 million was not spent due to a delay in the planned acquisition of assets. There must be reasons why there were delays in planned acquisition of assets. Program 2, intergovernmental coordination, there's a total underspending of 12 million. Now, I'm not even going to continue reading. I will just say to members that this department, Schedule 4 of the Constitution, makes this department a key department to coordinate public works. facilities and to coordinate EPWPs. If intergovernmental coordination is underspent by 12 million, it must have negative effects. Compensation of employees in this program, 6.3 million. A delay in capacitating the newly established, it's a newly established professional service and intergovernmental coordination branch, but they've not been capacitated by staff being appointed to the tune of 6.3 million. Goods and services in this particular intergovernmental coordination department, program, to the tune of 3.8 million. That speaks of low spending on planned activities for the newly established branches. So it means that they didn't travel, they didn't rent cars to go and coordinate things in provinces and regional offices. Machinery and equipment, that's what I referred to, 1.7 million due to a delay in planned acquisition of assets. And this results from unfilled vacant positions from the branches. Program 3, EPWP, underspent by 18 million. Goods and services, underspending due to a delay in implementation of the social, environment and culture project. Now this amount, I must say, Chair, is an amount that lies across the other spheres of government and departments. Program 4, so the one that I would find more excuses for is actually Public Works, the EPWP, but it's not to be justified. Property and Construction Industry Policy and Research. Honourable members would recall that since 2014, the promise was made in the annual performance plans and in the strategic plan, both the 5-year, both the five and the first one and the revised one, and every annual plan, that white papers would be reviewed, very old white papers would be reviewed. We heard of excuses that said we don't have the requisite staff inside the branch. As a committee, we then alerted them to our request that they must tell us how much they need to spend on consultants to do it. Since then, nothing has happened. This program receives the most money. Most of the money is allocated to this one. It does get shared with CBE and CIDB, but it's a serious problem. Underspending 5.8 million due to compensation of employees, vacant positions. Prestige Policy Program 5, which is where honorable members also benefit from in the villages. 7.6 million underspending relates to 5 million for compensation of employees, vacant positions, and the other 2.6 is machinery and equipment underspend. Honorable Ryder, Chair, with your permission, and honorable members heard me earlier on saying that I'm happy to put 12 and 6 in because of this. The department didn't spend money to employ people that must do serious work to implement policy. I'm pausing, Chair, in case honourable members want to engage on the relevant section.
Honourable Masiela.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I've got two issues to raise. The first one, I just wanted to check, is it not possible that on that table it also shows the allocation? So that we say administration, it was allocated so much, this is what was spent for this year, for this financial year and the last financial year, something like that. So that it becomes easy for one to comprehend. Secondly, I don't know, it's not an entity, and it's not appearing here maybe. You remember at one stage we had the committee or what, they were talking about addressing the issue of overpaying money on the leasing. Mm-hmm. You remember? Mm-hmm. That they are busy coming up with the building of office parks and so on in different areas to ensure that the government does not spend that lot of money, which was more than 200 million on monthly basis for rental. Yes.
Sorry,
we don't have it here. I don't know whether can we talk to that one also to ensure that. I think this is a very, very important thing because
spending a lot of money on transfers when we can build ourselves. Thank you.
Chair, if I may.
Honourable Matera.
My concern is that most of these programs, departments say they understand the money. So I don't understand why should it be that. Because understanding the negative impact, especially on our youth, employment. We've got a lot of unemployment growth, but the department doesn't spend money. What does it mean? I'm a little bit confused with this, and I don't understand. Can they clarify why should they just spend the money? Especially on an EPW program where a lot of people are not working, it's a fraction also.
Just to say that it will all become clear, honourable, as it unfolds. But you are correct. If they don't spend, the effect is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Just honourable Masiela, the program you refer to is actually part of the PMTE.
Okay.
So and that is the weakness of our report currently, that I did not put enough information in on the budgeting of the PMTE. But we will certainly beef up the table to include the allocations and the expenditure, which will make for clearer reading, and you can draw more inferences from that. We now deal with a section that speaks of some of the findings of the Auditor General's office, but I must say that as we go to page 8 and 9, some of what Honourable Ryder referred to earlier on as evidence to be inserted, which we will do under point 5 that deals with evidence, will emerge now. So in other words, I'm saying that it's not just the Auditor General's, we're not listing the Auditor General's issues only, we're listing our own issues as well. The Auditor General referred to internal controls, that I should be a capital there, and states that it expressed an opinion that the main vote remained unqualified for the third year since the turnaround plan was initiated. I just want to pause, Chair, and say that this turnaround plan is extremely important for this department and for our country. And that if it doesn't succeed and it starts falling and cracking, that I think in the next, you see, when things go wrong, you don't hear about it while it goes wrong. You hear about it in financial terms 24 months later. And then nothing can be done about it, almost the losses are there. So it's with that in mind, Chair, that are making that comment. But then we must say that in spite of the fact that it's unqualified, for all 3 years there have always been issues raised by the Auditor General. And what we've found is that management and the policy leader is not giving sufficient attention to it to fix these things. Now we list them, bottom page 3, page 7, we list 3 of those points, and the others are on page 8. And then 9 as well. The AG did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information for Program 2, intergovernmental coordination, and Program 4, the Property and Construction Industry Policy Regulations. The AG further identified material misstatements in the annual performance of Program 2, Program 3, and Program 4. Management, you see, perhaps I must just say before I read the next bullet, Chair, when we look at the AG's opinion, we must keep in mind that the AG's opinion is not new to the department. We may hear about it the first time, but the department heard about it 7 to 8 months ago. So they had 7 to 8 months to do something about it before the annual financial statement was being dealt with. So the next bullet says, management only corrected some of the misstatements referred to above. Therefore, the AG raised material findings on the reliability of the reported performance information. That third bullet actually refers to the first bullet and the second one. The fourth bullet at the top of page 8, financial statements were not fully prepared in accordance with a modified cash standard as prescribed by Treasury. And this is, when we see this of section 40, or anything from section 32, 39, 40 of the PFMA, those are legally, no, I should put it like this. The Director General and the Chief Financial Officer and the COO is bound to follow what the PFMA says, and what Treasury says is regulation will be aligned to that point, those specific sections of the PFMA. When people do not do financial statements as the law says, Chair, in real terms, it's like doing something wrong in the street and the police pick you up. That's how we must look at this. The next bullet, the financial statements received an unqualified audit opinion after corrections of material misstatements. And that's the point I made earlier. The next bullet refers to expenditure management. In certain instances, steps taken to prevent irregular expenditure were not always effective, as required by section 38 of the PFMA and the subsections of the PFMA and 911 Treasury Regulation. Management was not successful in addressing the high vacancy rate at senior management level. In terms of financial performance management, proper record keeping was not implemented in a timely manner. Timely is very important. If it's not done timely, then certain things fall through the cracks in between. To ensure that complete, relevant, and accurate information was accessible and available from public bodies to support performance reported by the department. This point, Chair, I almost heard Honourable Masehela or Honourable Machebe asking about EPWP in the earlier one. This is with reference to EPWP, where data is not done properly, it's not verified timely, etc. And then it actually has to do with financial performance by that department. Regular, accurate, and complete financial performance reports were not always supported and evidenced by reliable information. Review and monitoring of compliance with, and the applicable legislation there is the PFMA, and it was ineffective in certain instances. Leadership must continue to focus on expanding capacity in the risk management and internal audit units. It must ensure the optimal functioning of these units to address risk and internal control deficiencies across the department. Reports on investigations, and these are reports that deals with the SIU and the government governance risk and compliance unit of the department. This is, by the way, Chair, the unit of the DDG that had the bells, Fazal, India.
Oh.
In the previous financial years, BRRR of this committee, we raised the following matters. We are restating it here. As for this year, it is clear that the, you know, if we stated in the previous year they didn't give attention to it, then it's the same as the Auditor General having said things and they don't give attention to it. So we restate it and we say, number one, there's a need for stable leadership. The DPW and the PMTE had several vacancies in leadership positions, namely the DG and the head of the PMTE. This was a return to the situation prior to the turnaround plan. It caused the DPW to fall into disarray in the past. The committee warned that the minister must give urgent attention to this matter. What we're stating here, I do say that this is restated, and in the previous financial, as in the previous BRRR, but it's actually what we said in the meeting on Thursday, Chair. That's why it's past tense. The committee further raised the need for the DPW leadership to ensure that it had an adequate information and communications, telecommunications strategy and system in place. I still remember your finger, Chair, with your permission, if I could address the researcher, Inez, hovering around the previous expenditure amounts for software of previous financial years. And it's a lot of money that was bought, people were trained, money was spent, we don't see it. The annual financial statements showed expenditure on a number of software packages, that's what I'm referring to, yet there was a lack of record keeping and data management. The DPW further reported that it stopped the purchase of at least one software package due to the underperformance of the IT consultant. At leadership levels, decisions on acquisitions were not properly executed, they were not tracked, and they were not monitored. This requires urgent attention in the future. Secondly, financial and performance management. There was a need for management to have regular meetings. I don't know why it's important for us to say that shit, but here we are, we have to say it seemingly. To review compliance with legislation and financial regulation. This is particularly concerning in the DPW, where there were signs of inadequate attention to the key matters that is required to implement information technology controls. Chair, I'm pausing for members.
Members, can we go, or you want to get off the session? Honorable Masera.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't know whether maybe you can tell me to get it. We need to have a succession plan within this department. You know, I was really disappointed by the way the IT section is being handled. That if one person is not there, one person is ill, the whole section collapses. We can't run like that. I think we need to have something like that.
Any other members? Go ahead.
Chair, I think the comments here certainly cover everything in broad terms. I think that the one thing that I really feel we need to highlight here is that the buy-in to the turnaround strategy doesn't seem to have sunk in down the food chain. So for example, we're talking about the ICT systems and the expenditure on them and the fact that things have been procured. And we sit here knowing that there's an accounting package at PMTE that was procured, but they're still using Excel spreadsheets to manage the asset register. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be highlighted. It needs to be, the attention needs to be drawn to that specific fact, because I think there's, you know, there's almost a feeling that Department of Public Works, in order to shift focus took all of their warts. Now we speak about warts and all, but all they did was they took all of their warts and they put it in PMTE. So the Department of Public Works can say, look, we got an unqualified audit. Okay, these little oaks on the side got a disclaimer, okay? But we'll deal with it. But all they've done is they've put all their warts in one little place so that it's almost ring fenced, so that they can say, look, this side of my face is beautiful, never mind, you know, the other side is starting to... Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I really feel we need to draw attention to the fact that they are, getting a disclaimer, it's been put there, there's material issues with the accounting packages. The inability to provide backing information just keeps on pointing to the fact that the systems in place are not working. The ICT expenditure, the accounting packages that are being bought, etc., etc., are not being implemented effectively. I realize it's stated here, I feel that it needs more emphasis.
Well, I fully agree with you, another writer, but and I think that, rightly as you say, that the department has shifted part of the responsibility. Because although PMTE is now an entity of the department, but still, it is their responsibility. It you can't say, this is part of what I am doing, but it's not my responsibility also. Someone else must look after it. And I think we should strongly put that emphasis that the department must take ownership and responsibility in terms of the PMT. But also bring out the leadership capabilities at the moment and the void of leadership within the PMT. Okay. Members, do you want to have a comfort break quickly?
Yeah, sure. Just to add to what you were saying with the Honourable Rider here, I think it's also important that you must indicate that it is the responsibility of the department to ensure that all these entities falling under it are interrelated. So as they are shining, they must make sure that even this entity, they do the same.
Can we have a 10-minute comfort break,
please? Please.
Thank you. Yes.
Can you
Yes. Sorry, man, my coughing is not there. She was punching me in the ribs, I had to cough.
Thank you.
My brother, you mustn't record us while we are off. You must switch it off. When we are not in session.
When we are not in session.
Yeah.